The year is 1987, and NASA launches the last of America's deep space probes. In a freak mishap, Ranger 3 and its pilot, Captain William Buck Rogers, are blown out of their trajectory into an orbit which freezes his life support systems and returns Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
So, you want to talk about Manga Next and CedarCon?
I wasn't at Manga Next. Okay. I was at CedarCon. We split our forces.
Okay.
Aaron went to Manga Next. I went to CedarCon. Go. All
right. I will play my voicemail from Friday night at Manga Next, which probably contains a lot of stuff I already talked about.
Oh, my God. So, they're playing El Dorado in the waiting area for the train. So, this is Aaron, and I just finished attending Friday at Manga Next, and I wasn't there very long. I got out of work at, like, 6 about an hour early, and I headed over there. Probably missed the first sponsor shoot taken, got the second one, but whatever. Eventually I got there and I touched base with the Artist Alley people I knew, and Allison called and decided, because of jury duty, she probably just won't go until tomorrow. I've decided a foolish plan where I'm seeing Satoshi Kon's new movie Paprika tomorrow at the New York Film Festival.
You jerk.
It was awesome.
Noah was like, what? I can't go, because I'll be at CedarCon. I really want to see it too. But that kind of made me want to see it more. And I was surprised they had any tickets left. And I found out how to get tickets thanks to Carl Horn, and this all ties together. So Anime News Network posted how Satoshi Kon's movie Paprika was only playing at the Sneer Film Festival date. Someone in the forum posted, but it's sold out online. And Carl Horn replies and says, oh, well, you just call this number. And so on Monday I called the number, and it turned out the tickets were like $26, which is ironic. I probably could have bought the DVD for that much. But I have an assigned seat for a movie theater. It's like at a real theater. Turned out, so Carl Horn was at his panel by Miss, I mean at his con, by Miss the Dark Horse panel, but whatever, I saw it 2 weeks ago and we can run, so he's starting another room party using the same flyers he had for AWA. So I showed up at the room party and I couldn't really get the artist I knew to come, so there was like one chick there when I showed up, and I'm like, oh boy. But later some more people showed up, including a guy from Anime News Network. Same guy who dissed me in Anime Boston because he wouldn't record a promo saying, hey, I'm blah blah blah, you're the new consultant podcast. Yeah, that guy. But he goes all East Coast cons, apparently. But he seems kind of friendly and interesting in this con. I also went to a very interesting panel about the Japanese manga creation process versus the American one, which that was kind of what it was about. But what it was there was a guest at the con who is the artist for Boys of Summer, which is a collaboration between Tokyo Pop and this Japanese artist guy who used to do some erotic manga and also some like more mainstream stuff in Japan, but he moved to Brooklyn, to Williamsburg, where he lives now and does his Tokyo Pop thing. So he was interesting to listen to, even though I haven't read Boys of Summer. I might now, because now it's like, he lives in Brooklyn, like, in Williamsburg. He's some hip dude who's, now he did like 2 gallery shows of his visual art, because that's what you can do in Williamsburg if you're some hip guy. So, whatever. I'm sounding like Daryl Tourette, so whatever. But there were only like a few people at the panel, and one of the people was a guy who works at Marvel, who used to work, who worked on a bunch of different, for much different comic book companies things. So it was like me and like 3 other people, 2 of whom were guests or something. And that made it a bit more of a personal panel than I was really comfortable with having. There weren't really microphones either, and you didn't need it because it was such a small room, and yeah, like 6 people. So I was in the uncomfortable position of feeling obligated to ask a question at a panel, and I hate that. I don't like the people who usually ask questions at panels, so this is like, the only other people who would ask questions were industry people, and I was the only, like, fan person there who wasn't staff, so I had to. So I asked, the only thing I was interested in was, how much does Tokyo Pop pay you compared to Japanese companies? And, of course, they wouldn't answer that, because I think it's transcendent for Tokyo Pop. The answer is, Japanese manga companies pay by the page. If you're not famous, it's going to be like $60 a page. But that must also has to go to your assistants if you have any. And if you're famous, it can go upwards to like $100 or $150 a page. And then you also get paid when your manga becomes a tankobon, when it's published in a book form, you get royalties from that. Toriyama, I guess, when he was super famous, he would pay his assistants the page rate, and he just did the tankobon rate, the royalties from that, because...
I guess that's where it cuts off. Oh, I think that's when you called as well. That was my voicemail from Friday night at Manga Next. And indeed, that Saturday morning I went to see Satoshi Kon's new movie Paprika. Now we'll have to have an entire Satoshi Kon episode in the future because he's very important and I keep mentioning that. And Noah's always like, let's not do our Satoshi Kon episode this week.
When have I ever said that? I've never said that.
All right. Someday we'll have all those implants like in Ghost in the Shell and I'll be able to like play back the part where you're saying that. You'll be like, you hacked it.
You did hack it.
All right.
There's no way. You may have said that you wanted that to be the next episode, and I said, no, let's do something else.
That's what I'm talking about. When can we have it, then?
You'll have to do it after the AMV episode.
All right.
Because I promised Doki Doki we would do that, and okay. We haven't done it.
I kind of regret seeing Paprika by myself, because it was so awesome, and then...
Serves you right.
I know. And then I had no
what
one...
What a jerk.
And then I had no one to talk about it with. It actually turned out this one guy who is a friend of a friend of mine, who takes Japanese class with me, he also saw it.
I can't believe you saw that without me.
So then I was able to see it. I mean, then I was able to talk to someone about it, if only briefly. It's all Carl Horn's fault, because he posted that phone
stop.
Number.
Stop. Don't even.
I waited a long time to mention it, because I thought it would be sold out, and it wasn't.
Just don't.
So, like I was talking about, the super interesting panel I went to, the difference between Manga Next and CedarCon, from what I've heard about it in retrospect, is that at Manga Next, there were some fans there, and it seemed a lot of them were very young, and they were either, like... I don't know if they were hanging around the dealer's room or the cosplay cabaret, which seemed to be going on all the time, or what. But whatever they were doing, they weren't going to any of the panels at all. I think there was a video room going, even though it was Manga Next, and people were obviously spending time in there, but the panels were really underattended, especially on Friday and Sunday, which is to be expected because it's kind of a small local con, so not a lot of people actually got hotel rooms. There was like a high school reunion going on at one point. It was like a 50-year high school reunion with a bunch of really old people. So there was really good access to the industry guest, of which there were many, because a lot of manga companies and book publishers have headquarters in New York City. So for a lot of them, it was not much of a commute at all, that they could just easily come out there and hang out in New Jersey, because it's like a 10 or 15 minute bus ride. If you did go to the panels, like Alice and I, you got to have that one-on-one experience where you could actually talk to the guy who's the buyer for Barnes & Noble, and how he makes his picks or whatever. And we got a lot of really kind of insider information. Or their translation discussion panel on Sunday, it was like 8 or 9 people on the panel, including Carl Horn and a bunch of other people representing each and every manga company, except for maybe some of the smaller ones, and not the Korean companies. Anyway, in the audience were me, Allison, and one other person who was also an industry person. So it was the most interesting discussion no one will ever hear. And we had to leave because Allison had a panel. That's another reason I ended up going to Manga Next and not CedarCon, because Allison wanted me to be on her panel. But I ended up getting sick. I couldn't do the research I was going to do. And anyway, I didn't help out much with the panel. But more people went to Allison's panel than to the translating manga panel, because we brought all our friends who had gone to the con with us to the panel. And as soon as we got up to leave the translating manga panel, we were like, we're really sorry we have to go and run our panel now, and we know we're the only, like, attendees here, sorry. And they were like, that's okay, maybe we'll come to your panel when this is through. And after you leave, we're
going to... That's what CedarCon was like.
Yeah, and they're like, after you leave, we're going to talk about secret industry stuff, just to ourselves. And I was like, damn. It's very tempting to be like, I want to hear secret industry stuff. Yeah. I don't want to go to Allison's panel. Allison's panel went pretty well, though. It turned into just sort of a everyone discussing everything after about 30 minutes. One weird thing about manga...
What was Allison's panel? Since nobody was there but you.
It was called American and Japanese Narrative. So it was comparing the narrative structure. No, like 10 people went.
Yes, 10 people out of the 500 listeners we've got.
Yeah, and actually one of our listeners went to that panel.
Well, that one listener knows what Allison's panel was. Why don't you tell for everyone else what it was about?
I'm talking about it right now. It was American versus Japanese Narrative. And it was not listed in the program book. And it was the panel room itself was moved. And it got rescheduled several times. Frankly, it's a miracle anyone showed up. What she did was she compared the plot structure of Japanese comics to American comics. So she made a very complicated chart that charted out the plot arcs in some American comics. Like, I think Bone was an example. And it compared to Rurouni Kenshin and Antique Bakery. and one other complete series that I don't remember now. But she kind of gave a description of how in an American comic, if there's a flashback, it's someone is sitting there in the panel telling you the flashback while the action happens in the background. But if it's a Japanese comic, they will cut with almost no... What are you doing?
I'm cleaning my earphones. Don't mind me.
It's kind of distracting.
Nobody can see it but you.
It's distracting me, and I'm the only other speaker.
Would you just keep going?
So, in a Japanese comic, flashbacks are very prevalent, and when they happen, it's not like someone's narrating it to you necessarily. It just suddenly cuts to a flashback, like a movie might. She made the comparison about how Japanese manga tends more towards a cinematic approach, where it's edited more like a film, and the artsier it gets, the fewer words there are. But if it's an American comic, it tends more towards literature, and the more artsy of an American comic it is, and she's usually talking about indie comics and not really superhero comics, then the more literature-like it becomes, with more and more prose, filling the page until you have this, what is it, the Cerebus author type, Dave Sims, one tiny panel in the middle of a page, and a 40-page pamphlet comic about why women are the very devil. But that's not really what
Well, not specifically on that subject matter, but the point is that Dave Sims' Cerebus is, eventually it goes towards a point where it is all text and no graphic.
Right. Or Strangers in Paradise does that too, and it pisses me off every single time. Where I'm like, screw you, I'm not reading a 2-page long description of this just because you were too lazy to draw it. On my voicemail, I talked about the panel where one of the main guests of the con was this guy whose name I can't remember now. He draws the Boys of Summer comic for Tokyopop, which is kind of a weird international co-production, because the person who writes the script wrote a lot of American comics. And I don't remember his name right now, but I think it's Chuck, and I think he likes baseball. So the Boys of Summer comic is about baseball, and it's about an American college baseball thing. But the Japanese mangaka who they've hired originally did a lot of erotic comics. Like, he got to start doing Eru games, they call them, that are sort of like the doujin dating sim type thing, where people make them on their own at home on an amateur level and sell them at conventions like Comic Con. He made those with his two older brothers, and then started drawing manga in high school. And before he made it to college, I think he started to publish things, at first maybe in doujin and then the real deal. He had done some erotic comics, and then he got a job doing a comic in a fashion magazine. So he didn't use his pen name from the Arrow manga and used his regular name or whatever. But that comic did pretty well, and fans of it tried to find out his earlier works. So they eventually learned his pen name and became fans of both his... And apparently he did a lot of like erotic comedy, not like straight up disgusting porn, but he claimed that when he started there wasn't a bunch of erotic comedy, but now it's a much more popular genre. Eventually he got really overworked in Japan, to the point where a lot of manga artists in Japan would do about 50 pages a month with assistants and stuff. That's a lot of work. They basically don't leave the house. He was doing about 100 pages a month with assistants and things, but he burnt out and he quit everything and he moved to the US and he studied English in San Francisco for a few months, and then he moved out to New York in Williamsburg. And if you don't live around here, what you don't know is Williamsburg is where all the hipsters live. Like, you might think of different neighborhoods in New York, like, there's Chinatown, there's Little Italy, there's the yuppie neighborhood that we live in, Park Slope, and then there's the hipster neighborhood, Williamsburg. What is a hipster? A hipster is usually a person between the ages of 18 and 30-something, that they have unwashed-looking hair, almost like an emo kid. Emo is like a spin-off of the hipster thing. Hipsters are only a little bit cooler than nerds. Mostly they're cooler than nerds because they know about music. They wear vintage t-shirts or t-shirts with humorous or artsy decorations on them. And they have a particular style they're going for. There's the art school glasses.
Ironic.
They always talk ironically. They're obsessed with the...
What?
Kitsch.
Kitsch?
Kitsch.
Yeah.
And that's a hipster. They usually have a big record collection. What's a good example of a hipster? Maybe in the movie High Fidelity? But he's a bit old. He's a little old. He's on the old side. But a hipster is one step above a nerd. And let's never forget that. Keep that in mind. And what you find in Williamsburg is a lot of people who are in bands, a lot of artists, a lot of like small galleries, a lot of vintage clothing shops. It's a really super happening place, to the point where it's kind of annoying to walk through there, where you're like, oh, this place is crawling with hipsters. It's like an infestation. You can imagine a Japanese guy who was used to paying an extremely high rent living near Tokyo suddenly pays much less of rent in New York and lives near a bunch of young hip kids, where anyone can have a gallery opening. So he's had 3 gallery openings of his fine art.
Yeah.
Because you can. Apparently, some manga artists have lived abroad and still worked on stuff, but it's difficult to find assistants to help you work if you're living abroad. And the difficulty is the time change, that the Japanese companies will call you at 6 a.m. because it's not 6 a.m. for them. It's 7 p.m. or whatever. Or 5 p.m. Are you bleeding?
Yeah, I'm bleeding a little.
What is wrong with you? Why are you bleeding?
Stop. Stop the show.
Voltron will be back after these messages.
Weekly Anime Review claims to review a new anime each week, but he just missed a week. Here's the reason why, by his own admission.
I kill without remorse. I really liked killing little girls without remorse.
But there is a podcast about Japanese cartoons out there with hosts that can murder little girls and release their podcast on time. That podcast is Anime World Order. Visit us on the web at www.animeworldorder.com or search for anime under iTunes for anime news and reviews brought to you by three responsible psychopaths. Anime World Order. We kill children timely.
The proceeding is brought to you by the friends and supporters of Anime World Order, namely the Weekly Anime Review Podcast.
And we're back. All right, so that guy, the guest name, who I couldn't remember or pronounce, is C.B. Cebulski? Cebulski?
Cebulski?
Cebulski?
Don't look at me. C-E-B-U-L-S-K-I.
Mm.
He's so, Japanese?
No. The Japanese guest was this guy, Hiroki Otsuka.
Yeah, that sounds like a Japanese.
Hiro Otsuka, born in Shiga, Japan in 1974. Yada, yada. Created erotic comics for various publishing companies in Japan under his name, under the pen name Pyrotan. Some of his most memorable comics have been I Love Shock and Pyrotan 21. And they have the covers on a little bookmark thing they handed out. I Love Shock has a panty flash. I'll show it to you, this girl. Apparently, she's a transsexual.
That's the shock.
Yeah. And it's like a comedy and all this stuff. But it's difficult for him to do Boys of Summer because not only has he never attended college, he certainly never attended an American college, and has never done baseball, manga, or really played baseball. So that's a little bit difficult for him to do. But I know that the people on the manga cast really like it, that Ed and Jared are totally into it. That's mostly what we came away with from that panel in To Sum Things Up, is that they gave the great comparison of how on an assembly line to make cars, American cars are made in such a way like one person on the assembly line adds one part to the car, and the car keeps moving down the assembly line and another person adds another part. Apparently there's a Japanese production method of assembling cars that the Saturn company took on, where a team of people puts together a single car, and it's like worked on by the same team of people through the whole method. And how that compares with Japanese and American comics is that in American comics, one person does the pencils, and they pass them on down the line, and someone else does the inks. Someone who's not necessarily, who's never met the pencilist, perhaps. Then it's passed on, and someone does the color, and then it's passed on, and someone else does something else. So there are a lot more people on this kind of assembly line of American comic production, and each individual job that people get paid a little bit more than they would, than their Japanese counterparts. The difference being, in the way manga is put together in Japan, is a team of core people works on the whole series from beginning to end. And also, there's the way that rights are managed is extremely important, where the Japanese artists own all of the rights to their creations and their stories. And in America, the people who work on the comics don't own their own ideas or the comics they created. The parent company, like Marvel or DC, owns them. There have been some co-productions, like where Japanese artists did a bunch of like Wolverine comics, but the C.B. Cebulski guy is talking about he doesn't want to ask Japanese artists who he knows to work on comics because he's worried about ruining friendships, because he knows that even if they did these American comics, they might really like them, but they can't distribute them in Japan themselves or anything, and they won't own the rights to those books that they wrote. So it's a bit touchy. And that was all extremely interesting. For me, the one person attending the panel, it was a lot of pressure, because I'm used to going to larger cons where a lot of people will go to a panel and they'll ask a lot of annoying questions. Like, often questions I already know the answer to as someone who's kind of an insider, or I've just gone to enough cons that I know the types of questions people ask and the types of answers which are always given. So it's very awkward for me to be the only, like, attendee at a panel where everyone turns to me, where it's like, so you got any questions? Because I'm not used to sitting there thinking of a question I could ask, because I find that whole process so annoying. So the other thing I was thinking about was, you know, how does Tokyopop pay compared to manga publishers? And they couldn't tell me, because he was there as Tokyopop's guest, and his translator worked for Tokyopop, so he couldn't, you know, disclose exactly how much Tokyopop is paying for him for these books. But his answer about how they're paying in Japan is really useful. And CB, even though he wasn't a person on the panel, chimed in a lot with a lot of useful information about how American comics are made, as an insider in that industry. So I feel bad that I didn't talk to him more at Carl Horn's party. And also, as he said in that panel and other panels that he was at CB was like, well, I'm pretty much going to be in the hotel bar for the rest of the con. So if anyone wants to talk to me, come up and talk to me. And a lot of people did. He had a bunch of, a group of little fans who were hanging out in the bar talking to CB the whole time. And at one point, the only other interaction I had with him the rest of the con, he was like, can you take our picture? And so I took CB's picture with his group of friends.
Way to go.
On several cameras. And I don't think he
like Vic.
Remembers who I am at all. The next 30 seconds of the Ninja Consultant podcast is not appropriate for
my ears. Cover your ears if you're under the age.
Take your headphones off. 30.
Do you like anime?
Yes.
Do you like Naruto?
Yes.
Is your favorite scene where Naruto and Sasuke tag team Sakura?
Yes.
Is your manga collection filled with gothic Lolita Futanari doujins?
Huh?
Then you need the Happy House of Hentai podcast. It's dirtier than a middle-aged Japanese businessman.
HappyHouseOfHentai.libsyn.com.
Just kidding, middle-aged Japanese businessman. We love you.
I listen to a lot of CedaCon coverage on other podcasts. And a lot of people said very flattering things. Geek Nights was very much like, Noah was really cool, much cooler than he is on the show in real life. And
because Aaron is crimping my style on
true.
The show.
I'm making you stick to topics and...
Yeah, that's not where I do my best work.
Researching what you say, or whatever.
I should have researched what I was going to say.
Oh, well, we don't do a lot of prep work for this show.
No, we probably should.
We'd do it all in
probably
post.
Probably do more.
Yeah, we should probably come to the table with notes.
Can't really do it all in post when, you know, we've already done the show.
For Noah and I, it's very difficult to set up to do recording. We have to schedule a block of time when we're available to do recording, and it takes a while, a lot longer than the show actually is to record it, because setup isn't always as smooth as it was today. Even today, I had some problems.
Yeah.
We have a large apartment. We don't have the ultimate in space, so we tend to break down all of our equipment after every record.
So Aaron doesn't want to hear CedaCon coverage, but that's too bad.
Yeah, you can say.
Because you're going to...
Well, I want to hear your CedaCon coverage. I know for a fact, because I've already heard you talk about it, that your opinions are very different from, say, Rimmon Scott's, who said how surprisingly well-attended it was and how well-run and blah, blah. And their match game, which I still don't really understand, except for Dave and Joel talked about a lot, so...
I did not go to the match game, so I really don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems like you'd be a prime contestant for the match game.
That might be true, but I had enough at that point. So I don't even know. I can remember all of the podcast teams except one who the kind of odd team out. They were the stand-up comedy sort of thing. I forget what they were called.
It wasn't the Overnightscape. It was something else. I don't know.
I don't know. The point is, it was me and Fast Karate and Geek Nights and...
Lord Kaos from
Happy House of Hentai and Hello Kitty. Not at all the way I expected they were going to be. I thought that they were going to be large, obnoxious people. And instead, they were large, very polite people, very kind, very understated. In the Podcasters Unite panel, which I didn't realize at the time, but then later looking at the schedule, we were supposed to be talking for 3 hours.
Oh.
But okay, I haven't yet finished the roll call.
Wait. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Because... Aaron and Diana were there from Weekly Anime Review. Well, and then other guys. Huh?
So one thing about the Manga Next con that was kind of weird. Oh, I guess I should mention, for both CedaCon and Manga Next, this was both their first years as a con.
Right.
So there's also a big difference, though, between the people who put them together. The guy Corbin, who arranged CedaCon, if you listen to the Weekly Anime Review episode where they interview him, he had really only been to Otakon and not many other conventions. And he just kind of had this idea, like, there's no cons in upstate New York. I'll make one, and I'll just do it. I don't think... Had he staffed on other cons before?
No, I don't think so.
No, so he was just the con chair of this founding con. That's one way to go. But the Manga Next con was a lot of the same people who were involved in Anime Next and people who have their fingers in other cons all up and down the East Coast. So these were people with conventions like Erica, the person who runs YaoiCon and who did OnaFest on the East Coast, and I think also YuriCon. And like Matt Pison was the video ops guy at Manga Next for the video room. And so I saw him around and I gave him a t-shirt. He was a guest on our show a long time ago. Other people whom I recognize as staffers at these kind of East Coast cons in the New York City area were all there running it. And so they had the industry connections and that sort of thing to kind of make it. The weird part was all of the panels were scheduled for like 2 hours. I found that's a little long. Like...
Yeah, that's probably more than a little long. Yeah. Three hours? Like, I could fill 3 hours. Heck, yeah. I could fill 6 hours. I've talked for longer than that.
Yeah.
But you know what? You don't probably want to listen for 6 hours.
No.
And indeed, like, I heard that, yes, the Geek Nights match game thing was fairly well attended, considering that I think there were more guests than attendees,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to be down on it at all, because, in fact, it was a very well-run convention, CedaCon, kind of lending credence to my belief that all conventions will go perfectly if they are not attended. That is to say, it's the attendees that make things go
chaotic.
Wrong.
Yeah. Nobody's like passing out and needing medical attention.
Yeah, and Corbin did a really good job, especially for this being sort of his first thing. I was really impressed. And it's not to say that I didn't have a good time, because I got to spend a lot of time with Fast Karate in particular. Even though Joel, his wife, her birthday was the day after. So he had like a 6 or 8 hour drive from Philly and left at like, I don't know, left at 2 in the morning or something
to drive back. They talk all about it on their show, and it's really funny how Joel talks about scheduling CedarCon and being really excited about it, and also thinking about his wife's birthday on that weekend, but not really the two things meeting in his head. I've been in that position.
I believe that.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. I got to hang out with Dave and his girlfriend, and just I can't say enough nice things about Fast Karate.
They've certainly said a lot of nice things about you. Like, one reason they really wanted to go, because you were going to be there, and maybe me, and they like hanging out. They live kind of, Philadelphia's kind of far away.
Well, kind of, but we'll be out there, I guess, next month.
Yeah,
it's
pretty easy to make a weekend trip there. It's not impossible.
Talk to the old men.
We met the old men of Otakon who didn't give panels this year, who might next year.
Hanging out at a bar after Otakon.
Yeah.
Our bus was delayed, and we finally gave up and waiting for the bus to come in like 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, we knew it would be
hung out
3 hours or
at
something.
The Wharf Rat bar. What's cool about the Wharf Rat is you can like pronounce it as the Wharf Rat. Like the Wharf Rat.
Crickets.
Whatever. I think that's kind of cool. Wharf Rat. Anyway, that's where the old men were. And so I got to talk to them for a couple of hours. And it was cool, but mostly I wish that everyone who I had told that they were going to be there had been able to see them, because I've spent time talking to the old men before, and it's not, you know, that I wouldn't be happy talking to them for hours again, but really I wanted other people to have the same experience.
Right. So we're gonna try and have them on our show, but the trouble is they're so old that they don't really use email.
It's been really hard getting a hold of them. In fact, I haven't been able to yet.
They don't have answering machines.
They don't have email addresses.
These men
got phone numbers and an address.
Written in cursive. Imagine
yeah,
that.
These written
men
in cursive.
Are over 60.
And
they're train otaku as well.
So I'm going to write this guy a letter and send it in the mail. I don't
snail
know the
mail.
Last time that I actually mailed a letter to anybody.
Oh, we got a nice letter from Ireland, because a girl there like drew one of the InnoVast show things that I put on the cover of our mini.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
She wrote a nice letter. What cracks me is about Irish addresses. There's no numbers in them. It freaks me out.
Need them.
It freaks me out. There's no zip code, because their country is so small and unpopulated. I guess they don't need things like zip codes or street
important.
Addresses. And it's like, does your house have a name? Like a rich person's house? And they're like, only rich people's houses have names. But it's just, you know, it's like Harry Potter's address, where it's in the broom cupboard, under the stairs, Dowry Lane.
It's very descriptive.
Brighton, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need numbers.
Numbers are
for important.
America, where we have towns with the same names over and over again, where there's a Springfield in every single state, and roads with the same names over and over again.
All right, fine. Yeah. I want to talk about CedarCon a little bit, which is that it was very flattering that Corbin wanted this to be sort of the podcast convention.
Well, he seemed like a big podcast fan who wanted to have a con.
I'm not sure that that's really true. I'm not sure that he's actually listened
to
a lot of our...
Yeah, I gave him a lot of suggestions. Yeah. I think he listens to our show.
Does he?
Well, or at least he knew about us from Otaku Generation or something.
That's...
And I was like, if you're inviting us, why don't you invite the following people who emailed right afterwards?
Yeah, it's very funny that Otaku Generation was not there, considering they were probably...
They said on their show that they had a lot of scheduling conflicts and couldn't go.
Yeah. Well, you think that there are enough of them that someone could have gone.
Yeah, that's true. But I think when they travel, it's like in a posse with a bunch of equipment. What's weird about Otaku Generation is I think that they're very... Individually, they're more shy and quiet than you'd expect from listening to their show. Sometimes I think that's the way I come off as well, where if you actually meet me in real life, I don't really talk all the time. Unless you know me pretty well, then yes.
No, you do.
Whatever.
You do.
You know.
I've been around you.
I'm kind of a shy person, and that's why I have a podcast. Because I always feel like I can't finish what it was I was going to say, or like people cut me off, or like I can't really compete in a big group, so this really gives me a forum to say everything I want to say, and my friends who listen to the show will eventually listen to it.
Right.
But if there are more than three people in a group that I'm talking to, it's hard for me to get a word in.
Yeah, so this is your opportunity to cut me off instead.
It's true. This is your opportunity to talk at great length.
No, I can't talk at great length, because you always interrupt me. Like now, for instance, when I'm trying to talk about the CedarCon podcasting panel. Which is to say, I think there were maybe 8 people in the audience.
Yeah.
There were 9 people on stage, 8 people in the audience.
That's a good ratio.
3 of them were plants by Fast Karate, friends of theirs. So I felt really bad for the people listening to us. Also, like, Happy House of Hentai, I was not expecting what I got. Lord Kaus. Why could it be Chaos?
Kaus suit.
I don't know. But, so I show up to the convention, and he's the first guy I see. And he says, hey, welcome back. What? Welcome back? I just got here. And indeed, he said that to everybody on, you know, meeting them the first time, or sometimes it was welcome back, and that made sense. But, like, I'm just saying, that's a little weird. Also, he said, oh, shoot, a lot.
He says that, like, everything. A lot,
too. Oh, shoot.
I've listened to a few episodes of Happy House of Hentai, but I don't listen to it all the time because it's really uncomfortable listening to it at work, where they're talking about a super extra explicit disgusting scene in hentai, and I'm kind of at work, and it's just sort of scary. It's not like I'm on headphones, but I'm still kind of embarrassed.
But oh, shoot. It was all right.
It was all right.
It was all right. Anyway, they were nice. Most of the time was spent hanging out in the podcast alley, which was all supposed to be Artist Alley, except really no artists were there. Met some interesting people, college kids, people who went to SUNY Albany, which is where the convention was hosted. We had little breakout panels for the different podcasts, and I don't think anyone was...
Oh, you met some listeners, though.
Yeah.
You said there were, like, three people who went to your...
Yeah, they weren't listeners, but there were three people who went to my panel.
Oh.
Maybe they're listeners now. Also, Martin Leung, who you may have seen on YouTube as the Nintendo piano guy. He plays the Mario theme blindfolded. He was there as the special musical guest, and he was pretty awesome. I spent a while talking to him about how he learned classical piano and decided to apply his talents towards video game music. That was fun and interesting. Carl Horn did not attend CETACON.
Because he was at Manga Next.
I know that.
Manga publishers.
I know that. But I was a little hurting for Carl Horn.
He had the same setup at his party with the projectors, but he didn't have his special punch. Instead, he had only Heineken and Coke.
Well, it's not Atlanta after all. So next year, I think, although I had a horrible time getting back from CETACON, I got stuck in Secaucus. I'd certainly go again, even though it was
Secaucus, you know, New Jersey? I think I got stuck upstate.
It's not Secaucus. Did I say Secaucus?
Yeah.
Syracuse.
Syracuse is worse.
Yeah. Manga Next held in Secaucus.
You could have walked from
Secaucus. My Greyhound bus stopped in Syracuse.
All right.
But Offshoot.
Offshoot.
Is all right.
I learned many things at Manga Next, which I've written in this notebook.
Aren't you done?
No.
With your Manga Next coverage?
No.
Jesus God. Well, fine. Keep going.
Here's some interesting facts.
Please.
Well, I met two listeners of our show.
Oh, I shouldn't say that, because there was the one kid who listens to Otaku Generation that we'd seen before. Skinny, blonde kid. I forget his name now.
Oh, okay. He might have mentioned it on
He was also, yeah.
Because someone from...
A Happy House of Hentai listener.
Someone from CETACON, like, called in and gave their con report to Otaku Generation. I forget, Stumpy or something like
That's the one. Stumpy.
And they're from Canada.
Stumpy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was from Canada.
Yeah, he went down from Canada.
For CETACON?
Yeah.
Nothing like Happy House of Hentai, which is apparently based out of New Mexico.
Yeah, that's where he lives.
Flew to Utica, New York.
He was just really excited to be
a guest. Oh my God.
He's only gone to like OhioCon, ACON, and CETACON because he went to OhioCon because Otaku Generation was running it and he really wanted to meet them.
So, oh shoot.
Well, we flew to Atlanta. We've been to a bunch of cons.
Yeah, we flew to Atlanta, but let me tell you, there's a big difference between Anime Weekend Atlanta and CETACON. CETACON being in lovely Utica, New York. Well, small town, not metropolitan at all.
I imagine if there are small local cons in New Mexico, he would go. And there probably aren't many because it's like all desert there. The population density is really low.
Yeah, that's true.
But, so if there is another local con in New Mexico, it's probably a lot like CETACON.
That's likely true.
So,
although there is some kind of science fiction collective out there, as I understand it.
A lot of listeners keep writing in and asking us, do you know if there's a con in my area or when a con is coming up? For the love of God, go to anime-cons.com and you can look it up on there. Along with sci-fi cons and regular comic book cons and anything that's related. And it's all run by Patrick D in a giant East Coast conspiracy. But anime-cons.com, it's where I go when I want to look up statistics about different cons.
Right, so when you ask Aaron, that's what Aaron is checking.
I'm sending you a link to AnimeCons.com. I'm not looking it up for you anymore. If you complain that there are no cons in your area and you live in Oregon, you're wrong, because there are cons in Oregon.
Right.
So you can just look it up.
Fine. So once again, go ahead.
Yeah, well,
go
on. What else
do you have to say?
Fine.
The year is 2006, and young Eric Cartman cannot wait for the new Nintendo Wii to come out. Unable to cope with the wait any longer, Eric decides to freeze himself for 3 weeks. But a freak avalanche makes Eric impossible to find, and so he remains frozen for 500 years.